Hello, hello, ad-free shows. It's me. It's Paulie B. Welcome to some ad-free shows bonus content. And today I am privileged to welcome my guest, Christy Olson. Christy, how are you today?
Hello, Paul, and hello to all the ad-free shows family out there. I'm great. This is going to be fun.
I'm excited about this. You and I just worked together on the SummerSlam post show, and we were talking as we were preparing for it. And I said, Christy, we need to give you the proper introduction to the ad-free shows family. Some of them are familiar with you, some of them aren't, but you're doing some live events and getting more involved with us. So I appreciate you coming on and being willing to do this with me today.
Well, thanks, Paul. Thanks for your time, too. You know, I kind of feel like I'm starting to get to know a lot of the top guys and the other ad-free shows family pretty well. So I appreciate this opportunity for them to get to know me, too.
Well, let's jump into it because I have some fun stuff prepared for today as we get to learn more about Christy Olson. And you've done seemingly everything in your entertainment career. You've worked for E! Entertainment, AfterBuzz TV with Maria Menounos, Hollywood 9-1-1, and built an amazing YouTube channel. What was it about entertainment that pushed you to get involved?
Well, I grew up being pretty obsessed with pop culture and kind of anything that was going on in Hollywood. Growing up in Minnesota, that was just sort of my vibe, you know, watching like Clueless and Sweet Valley High back in the day. It was all about like driving in your Jeep down the 101 amongst the palm trees. So that was totally everything that I was obsessed with growing up. And then when I started to study news broadcasting in college, I found that hard news really is not my vibe. You know, it's not my thing to be covering a really tragedy that happened to people, or, you know, a lot of really important in-depth stuff that many people I went to college with are doing. And I have a lot of respect for that. It's not my kind of a thing. So I really went the way more of entertainment and, of course, sports entertainment, too.
So speaking sports entertainment, were you a fan as a child, or did you become a fan of pro wrestling when you got more into the entertainment, or, you know, did you watch as a kid?
I did watch as a kid. That was kind of the cool, fun thing that my dad and I would do on Monday nights. My mom would always work, and I remember dad flipping back and forth between WCW and WWF back then. My absolute favorite was Miss Elizabeth. I loved to see her gowns when she would come out, and I remember being so terrified of Jake the Snake Roberts, even though I loved that. So yeah, watched as a kid, and then really kind of tapped out on it for a lot of years through being a teenager and all that. When I first moved out to Hollywood, started interviewing some of the superstars, running into them on the red carpet, you know, a couple decades later. And that's when I really, my interest was re-piqued.
So who is your favorite? Did you have a favorite wrestler growing up, or someone that you really cheered for a little harder than others?
Yeah, it was all about the Hulkamania back then. And I was definitely, you know, taking my vitamins and the whole thing. That was
saying your prayers.
He was my guy. Yeah.
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 So Hulk Hogan, big fan of his. What about when he went to WCW and became the bad guy, the leader of the NWO? Were you still watching it at that point, or not necessarily?
You know, not a whole lot. I feel like that maybe was what led me astray, right? I think maybe seeing Hulk Hogan go dark at the age I would have been then would have been very disheartening for me. So I almost wonder if that was what sort of took me out of it, man. Good thing he went back to that. Good. Thank God for the hip face turn, right?
That's right. He came back around full circle. But no, Hulk Hogan, as you said, I think a lot of us here on ad-free shows are right there with you. We grew up, you know, we're big fans of wrestling nostalgia, and Hulk Hogan was our childhoods, right, wrong, or indifferent. And so it's really cool to see we all have that in common, if you will, growing up big time Hulk Hogan fans. And so that's awesome. That's great. He was an icon for sure. And you talk about pop culture. There was no one bigger in terms of a wrestler with pop culture than Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah. And even when I was tuned out from watching wrestling, I was still obsessed with like Hogan Knows Best, you know, and all that stuff. So Total Divas is kind of what got me back watching too. Their personal lives is something I'm more interested in than I think probably pretty much any other wrestling fan. Most people don't care about that, but I do. I want to know.
You want to know all the scoop and the dirt. Yeah. So you like the juice. Listen, I don't blame you. It's good stuff. And there's a niche. There's an audience out there for it. You mentioned Total Divas. That's something that people can sit down, and even if their girlfriend, spouses who could care less about wrestling, they're captivated by the entertainment side of it as well. And we guys, let's not be afraid to admit it. We love it too. Are you kidding me?
Oh yeah, you know you're not going to get the real, you know, Daniel Bryan or John Cena back then, especially. We kind of gave us a glimpse into what was actually going on with their lives and their careers.
Absolutely. And it's humanizing them. And we're all for humanizing that person, not just a wrestling character, but seeing how do they really live and what do they really like? And there's just something very interesting about that.
Mm-hmm. That's what keeps me sort of in the loop on all this and covering it all is really the people behind the characters.
Well, listen, a lot of professional wrestling, we talked about it a little bit earlier, they've come from, a lot of the talent have been behind the scenes and various personalities have come from Maria Menounos' AfterBuzz TV network. Do you think that because of Maria, is it because she's such a fan of pro wrestling?
Yes, it absolutely is. If people maybe remember, like in 2010, I believe she had a match at SummerSlam. So she has not only grown up a fan, but she has been in the world as well and trained. And I'm sure you guys remember that she hosts the red carpet for the Hall of Fame every year. So she's so ingrained in it. And her after shows being, you know, what the network AfterBuzz was all about back then. We, of course, covered, you know, Raw and SmackDown and then Total Divas and Total Bellas and all of that. So it was just a lot of good synergy, especially as people who worked at AfterBuzz started to get hired over there by WWE, you know. So, and I do absolutely have Maria and Kevin to thank for my success and, you know, Sean Waltman and Lillian and the other people that they brought me into. But yeah, thank God Maria is a wrestling fan. Worked out for me.
You mentioned Sean Waltman and Lillian, and that's where I was headed next. You helped produce and co-host their podcast. How did that come to be? And what was that experience like working with those two?
Oh my gosh, the most incredible experience of my life, probably. So I had been covering wrestling news and the wrestling shows at AfterBuzz when Kevin had met Sean at a pay-per-view or something like that. And Sean wanted to start a show. This was his first show that he had, was 2016 or something. So this was quite a while ago. And they brought me in to just kind of help behind the scenes, maybe get on camera a little bit. Sean was concerned about, you know, the formatting and the hosting part of it. He wanted to kind of get on and just be Sean Waltman, which is what we all want anyway. So how it really happened was we wanted to do a test show. Kevin Hall joined us via Skype, and it ended up working out so well and being such a great episode that they posted it later in the day as the first episode of the show. And I suddenly was not only, you know, a co-producer behind the scenes, but Sean's co-host as well, which could not have been a better education in the world of pro wrestling, sitting next to him every week, talking about current events in wrestling, but also his past and interviewing some of his friends. You know, we had DDP come in and Scott Hall and Kevin Nash and just absolutely everyone that I would have wanted to meet and learn from. So that could not have been a more valuable or a more fun experience, really. And sort of the same thing with Lily, and she came into AfterBuzz and she wanted to have a wrestling news segment on her show. That was my bag. So she, you know, would toss to me and I would give my wrestling story. She would give her input. So getting to work with her was so valuable as well. She has high standards and she knows what she's doing and she brings out the best in everyone.
That's great. I love to hear those stories. So at this time, you talked about your fandom as a kid and Hulk Hogan, then you kind of fell out of touch with wrestling, started to explore your entertainment career. But you're getting now back involved in it. You're working with these wrestling personalities, helping in their podcasts. Are you, again, reliving or falling back in love with your fandom of the business as a result of working with these folks on their podcasts? Are you starting to pay attention, should I say, more, you know, more to the current product?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm someone who I'm not going to talk about something unless I know absolutely everything about it, unless I can call myself an expert. So I made myself the wrestling news expert. And that, of course, required watching, you know, Raw, SmackDown, NXT. Back then, I was so into Impact as well, long before AEW. But I think I added up at one point was watching like, you know, 12 hours of wrestling programming every week just to keep up with everything. And I was enjoying it. I wasn't fast forwarding through entrances and stuff like that back then. I was sitting down and watching every show, every match, bell to bell, and just really taking it all in and loving it.
I love it. And I'm sure all of our listeners on Ad Free love it too, because it's just when you have somebody that's into it, pays attention to it, does their research, there's a certain amount of respect that these guys and gals are going to have for someone like you who, you know, just doesn't have a mic and is fed what to do. No, you're doing the homework, the research, you watch, you're a fan, you're enjoying it. And so it's so refreshing just to hear kind of the work, you know, your effort that you've put into this as far as, you know, getting back into wrestling and really how it's turned into really a really cool career for you, Christy, in covering the sport.
It is. Well, and I have all those superstars and wrestlers to thank because I have such great respect for them and even getting to see what they do training every day and being on the road right. that there's no way I'm going to get out and do my part in the show without, you know, full preparation because I got to meet their standard. So, you know, that respect just comes from respecting them, really.
Now, did you work for some indie promotions or for some independent companies before joining WWE as a ring announcer at all?
I did for about a year before I got signed. I was doing indies mostly in Las Vegas, like if anybody remembers Paragon Pro Wrestling, or in Portland at WWC. So I was going pretty much like two weekends a month to different places and doing their backstage interviews and some announcing. That was some of the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. Met some of the greatest people that I've ever met who now are, some of them are doing really, really great and have become huge stars. But being on the road, that whole thing, the whole stigma, you know, the being on the road and all that, it's a lot of fun when you only have to do it, you know, part-time, when you're not on the road 300 days a year. And that was something that I enjoyed so much. I should really, now that live shows are back and back at it again, I would love to get back out there and do some announcing and some backstage interviews and stuff because the fans are awesome at independent shows and the talent is awesome. And you can't do any better than that.
Well, Christy, I was doing some research, looking at some videos, if you will. And in 2015, you did a little video that you wanted to be a tough enough backstage reporter. Do you remember this at all?
I do remember this. This was one of my proudest video moments at this point. I thought I was so smart, you guys. They were doing the Tough Enough search. This was the season that Daria and Mandy Rose and Chelsea were all on. And I thought, I am going to get into this, man. I am going to get their attention because they're looking at all these audition tapes for wrestlers. And I'm going to get their attention saying that I want to be the backstage interviewer at Tough Enough. So I made one of these audition videos rocking, of course, my Nitro Girls shirt because what else? And I had a stint in life where I was just dying to be a redhead. So this is kind of coming off that. So there is a lot going on in this video, but I was pretty proud of it at the time.
Well, Christy, without further ado.
Hey, WWE Universe. Christy Olsen, and this is what I do. Divas Match, Triple Threat, Nikki, Naomi, Paige. I want to be your tough enough behind the scenes interviewer. You need someone backstage delivering the latest news and WWE Tough Enough exclusives.
At one of my favorite events of the entire year, this is the WWE SummerSlam kickoff party.
Asking contestants the tough questions as they try to survive this game.
Is it hard to be at an event like this and to go through SummerSlam and not be in the ring?
A familiar face you already know from interviews with your favorite superstars and divas on my website, ChristyReports.com. A host who's tough enough to ask Maurice if she was worried Summer Rae would make the moves on her man?
We were just talking, Marie, before. I have to ask you, Maurice. Summer Rae, there's been some rumors on Total Divas that she likes to get close to her coworkers. Were you at all worried that she would make the moves on your man?
Yeah.
Wow.
I went there. Yes. Asking Triple H if Stephanie lays the smack down at home.
Now, we saw her lay down the law on Total Divas.
Oh,
did
right.
she do that at home?
Or Eva Marie if JoJo's still jealous.
So if she was jealous before, is she like really jealous now? Are you guys cool?
No, we're good. We're good. Yes.
But what about trying to cause some drama, girl?
Yeah. I bring the drama on the mic, but I also know what I'm talking about as a sports entertainment reporter. I'm the ABTV pay-per-view predictions champ.
The champ.
That's true.
In here. Yes.
You keep dreaming on the stars above. Wow.
I will always sing along. CM Punk will vouch for me.
Wow. Oh, no. You've done your homework.
But most importantly, what does Lillian Garcia say?
Absolutely, you'd be great.
That's right. So tell WWE that Christy is tough enough. Wow. Mic drop and all.
Wow. Christy, what do you got to say about that one?
If that's not an amateur who knows nothing about how to cut a wrestling promo playing like person who's delivering a wrestling promo. I don't know what is. The hands, they're shouting. There was like no peaks and valleys. It was just all up here, right? But I think what I was saying was legit. And I did a pretty good job of you know, I think convincing people that I would have won the match.
Listen, you were intense. You did
tough enough backstage interviewer.
You were intense. You asked all the tough questions. Well, you know, as you watch that today, I mean, again, this is 6 years ago. You're talking to superstars. CM Punk. You got CM Punk in there. Steve Austin at the beginning. Maurice and Miz. Eva Marie. She's back, too. We talked about her SummerSlam post-show. That was so fun for me to find that.
Yeah, and, you know, I have forgotten about a lot of that. And I really prided myself back then on being the person who would go there with them, because on the red carpet, nobody else really understands who pro wrestlers are, what they're doing, or if they're playing a character, if they're being themselves, and how to interview them. So I would have so much fun with that and kind of pushing the line and asking the questions that would be something more that you would see as a dramatic storyline on TV. So that was so much fun, Paul. Thank you.
Well, listen, I have to say that, I mean, I would think at this point, WWE obviously was one of your goals, right? That's where you wanted to end up at this point, correct?
Yes.
So talk us through signing with the WWE, March of 2017. Let's start there. Who hired you and what was that experience like?
Well, I think I was standing about 3 feet right over there in my apartment, which is another story. But the way that this happened was really, I was working with Lillian at the time, and SmackDown was in town. SmackDown and Raw were in town in Los Angeles, and she was going to go and interview some superstars there for her podcast. I went along, of course, as her producer. When we first got there, the first day, her and I were in a room with some of the talent relations people. And I believe what happened was, they heard Lillian and I, you know, interacting, saw that I was, you know, writing interview questions and writing intros for her, and that I was really involved and knew what was up. And I think I kind of caught some eyes that day. And on top of that, I had Lillian vouching for me, and X-Pac, Sean Waltman, of course, was there as well and was kind of helping, like, okay, here's so-and-so, I'm going to introduce you over here. So it was really a concerted group effort. That day before leaving SmackDown, I had a meeting with Michael Cole where they were inviting me to a tryout. I didn't know if I was dreaming. I went there that day to be Lillian's producer behind the scenes, and it was an absolute dream come true. I thought it was the coolest day of my life, and everything went so quickly from there. I flew out the next week for my tryout. It was a short period of time. So when I got the phone call, you know, and then you're signing, and it all happens so quickly, and knowing too that I was going to have to move to Orlando, that it's a blur. Now when I think about it, I would just say it was a blur.
Well, you become Christy St. Cloud, okay? Now, is this your choosing? Did you have to pick a name? How did the name all come together?
I gave them 5 different options. And the first one that we actually went with was my great-grandmother's maiden name. I was going to be Christina Ruby. And about a week before that, Ruby Riott had debuted. And just amongst the time between it getting approved for me and her coming and having a similar name, we needed a change. So I kind of went back to my choices. And my second choice was Christy St. Cloud, which is the city that I went to college in Minnesota. And I thought it sounded great. I had played with the Christina thing. That's not my real name. My real name is Christy, but I just always wanted to have options. So I thought that would be cute. But I became Christy St. Cloud because Ruby Riott was already Ruby Riott. So I like it now looking back on it. I remember not too long after I had chosen it, someone mentioned that it sounded like an 80s porn star name. I think it was actually Sean Waltman who said that. So I have a heart. Now I kind of think like, yeah, maybe that's true. But no, I like it. It works. It worked for a year.
Leave it to Sean Waltman. He would know that for sure. But St. Cloud, I like it. It's kind of a nod to where you grew up there. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's kind of predictable and cheeseball. Like people would say to me, like, oh, let me guess. That's where you went to college. I'm like, yeah. And it sounds good. Okay. I didn't go to college at university, so I could
there
use
you
it.
Go. It's fine. Now, was it your choice, or did they say you need to have 5 options? We do want to come up with a name for you, or could you have kept Christy Olsen?
No, they said we are going to be changing your name. And if you want to give us options, then at least, you know, we'll start there or we'll just pick for you. I believe in the case of the wrestlers, a lot of times it's a, hey, here's your name. And I've heard sometimes them, you know, kind of go through the struggle of not loving it at first and really having to take it on as their own. But I was good with Christy St. Cloud from day one.
I ask because I do a mailbag show with Mike Chioda, and that's another topic that's come up is the names for the refs. Some refs go by their name and some don't. So I didn't know what that meant for the announcers, too. But that makes sense. You're obviously a brand that's on television and someone who they're going to promote. So it makes sense they'd kind of want to own the name rights there.
Yes, it would have been very valuable for me to keep my name. And now I know.
So you're in the WWE, you're working with the NXT brand. Was there someone you personally looked forward to working with while you were there with the company? Someone that comes to mind and say, and you say, man, I'm so glad I got that experience or opportunity to work with this particular individual.
Yeah, well, of course, there's all the big names as well. And anytime I would run into anyone from the main roster, they were always so kind to me. I especially remember, you know, like the Alexa Blisses and Charlotte and people like that were always so kind to me when I would run into them. But as far as working with people, I knew that I would be mostly down at NXT, especially at the beginning. And when I was watching NXT back then, I loved the Iconics. They are now, I think they just came out today and announced that they're now the Inspiration.
That's right.
But I just really appreciated what Billie Kay and Peyton Royce did on the mic. And as an announcer who was watching back in the day when the announcers got involved a little bit and could kind of have a little back and forth, they were someone that I thought like, ooh, we could really have some fun together. And then I quickly learned that that's not what it's about. And that was never going to happen. And that isn't the role of announcers anymore. But I still got to have a little fun with them on camera because that's just how they are. So yeah, probably the Iconics for sure. Because again, all those huge names, I was going to get there, you know?
No, it makes sense. And in another surprise for you, Christy, I thought, why don't we show our members here on Ad Free your introduction to the NXT brand and some of the highlights of people that you got to interview while you were down there. And some of them are now big time superstars that we just talked about, obviously, on SummerSlam. And so if you'll indulge me a little bit, can we play that clip?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Hey guys, Kayla Braxton here, and I have something very special for all of you. I would like to introduce you to the newest member of the NXT broadcast team, Christy St. Cloud. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you
so much,
Kayla.
She was so nice to me.
I am very, very happy to be here. So tell the NXT universe a little bit about where you came from.
Well, I was working at AfterBuzz TV in Los Angeles. It's owned by Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro, and they gave me a lot of great opportunities there. I worked with X-Pac and Lillian Garcia on their shows, reporting wrestling news, and I covered SmackDown on the SmackDown After Show, Team Blue. So
yes,
I'm
Team
just
Blue
very,
for life.
Very happy to be here.
Now, you joined right in time for WrestleMania week, a crazy, exciting week.
I debuted WrestleMania week.
It was undescribable, but I'll try. It was unbelievable. So many memories were made for me just in that one week. It was a whole week of fun stuff. I got to do Access and attend WrestleMania, and it was just absolutely incredible.
And so what does it mean for you to finally be here? I know this has been a dream of yours for a long time to be a part of WWE. What does it mean to be here?
I've worked very, very hard to be here, and I imagined it so much, and it's just surreal, really, to be standing here with Kayla Braxton, holding her NXT mic. I just could not be happier. I really couldn't.
Aww. Well, you hit the road for the first time this weekend. You're going to be taking on some pretty cool cities throughout Florida, and if people want to follow along with your adventures, where can they find you on social media?
You guys can all follow me at Christy St. Cloud, and I hope you do.
Oh, gosh.
All right, Christy, thank you. You guys will see much more of her. I can assure you of it.
Bianca Belair, we knew you were a beast in the gym. Tonight,
yes,
you brought that
Bianca
monstrous power to the Mae Young Classic, defeating Sage Beckett in round one. What was going through your mind as the official raised your hand out there?
Well, I knew going into the match, I had to come prepared. Sage is a strong, powerful girl. And at times during the match,
this
it
is
was tough.
Baby Christy and but baby Bianca.
Yes. I'm the toughest.
Leaps and
it
bounds.
Was rough, but I'm the roughest. And I had to just push through. So when the referee raised my hand, I just knew that was my moment, and I worked hard for it, and I deserved that victory.
Yes, you Rhea do, girl. Ripley, and everything that came
a brand
after
new NXT
it.
Oh, superstar, but making your debut right here tonight in the Mae Young Classic. How did it feel to have a big win on your first match?
I'm so happy. Like, you cannot imagine how happy I am.
What is she doing?
The crowd was ecstatic, and they were Johnny Aussie chants.
She was shaking you. Oh.
We just learned that your tag team championship rematch at NXT TakeOver Chicago will be a ladder match. What's your reaction?
AOP likes to say that war is their peace. I hope you're listening, AOP, because every single night from now until NXT TakeOver Chicago should be the most peaceful sleep you're ever going to get, because we're going to bring a war to you like you've never experienced in your lives.
We've been searching for our moment for a long time. TakeOver Chicago, DIY, is going to climb the ladder rung by rung, just like we've done for the past 2 years here. At the end of the day, we're going to stand high on that ladder, and we are going to have our moment as the new two-time NXT Tag Team Champions.
Wow. What a blast from the past. That one is, you know what I could appreciate as I saw myself standing there next to Ciampa and Gargano was that none of them were dripping sweat. I can't tell you how many times you got to get in real close there. You know what I mean? Especially on the indies too, when you're in like hot arbories and stuff like that. I would, you know, walk away wet on one side, which is, yeah, you know, I mean, understandable. But so I could appreciate that, but always so intense, those two. And I would get huge. So, you know, I have usually a couple interviews on TV on the NXT show, but then also a lot of stuff for digital for YouTube. And those guys would always get huge views. So I love to be in promos with them. So fun to see Rhea Ripley in her beginning, you know, having been there when she first came, and she was that fresh faced, you know, young, beautiful girl from Australia. And she's, of course, still beautiful, but just has such a different vibe now. Bianca is someone who I will always, always, always be cheering the loudest for, because I was there, you know, when she did her first promo and had her first match there at the Mae Young and all that, and seeing her work hard and know the person that she is. So yeah, man, it's really fun to watch these back. Kayla was so welcoming and kind to me. I mean, you know, you hear a lot, and there's a lot to be said about competition there. And she is just someone who was so welcoming and made things and it very difficult. It's a really, really hard work environment. She made things a little bit easier for me. So always like to see Kayla.
As I watched that, I thought to myself, you have to have a little bit of cold chills, maybe, especially not only just reliving those experiences, but as you said, the talent and where they've gone to since then. You know, Bianca and Rhea, I mean, they're main event stars now on the main stage. And that has just got to be, and like you said, they're babies here at this point. She can't believe, Rhea Ripley can't believe she won a Mae Young Classic match. How cool is
that? I know,
that?
Right? Yeah, now a former champion. So, gosh, and that kind of makes me feel like I have a little piece in history there. You know what I mean? So it was meaningful for me to be there then, and so that's really cool.
Absolutely. I just when I saw that earlier, I'm like, these are going to be fun, and I can't wait to watch them with you. Was the thought process always for you to be a backstage interviewer, or were any other roles discussed for you there?
No, there it was to do backstage interviews for TV and stuff. And then also what I was doing a lot of was the NXT live events. So mostly Florida loops, you know, every sometimes Thursday, but Friday, Saturday, no. Yeah, sometimes Thursday and Friday, Saturday nights, we would go all around Florida. I have driven to every nook and cranny of Central Florida and Southern Florida and do live shows every night. So that was a big part of what I was doing as well. That was totally different, obviously, than being at, you know, TV tapings and actually getting to be there in the ring and in front of the fans and meeting people, really being, you know, the fans' conduit to the wrestlers there as the NXT live hosts and stuff. So those were the things that I was told I was going to be doing, and that's what I did. Any attempts to, you know, try to do more were sometimes not well received. Mm.
Good enough. Good stuff. Now, okay. I did see
a
story. Yeah, I'm looking for some juice here. I did see a story about a heel, not a wrestling heel, but you had an incident with a heel in the ring, maybe one of the ones that you wear on your foot, right? Tell us that story.
I did. So at one of these NXT live events, it was one of the earlier ones, you know, pretty early on in my career. And, you know, you're a few hours from home. I bring all my stuff, my outfits and all of that. And of course, my brand new high heeled shoes. And did it happen at the beginning? It did. I would go out for a pre-show for like 10, 15 minutes before the show would start and kind of warm up the crowd, talk to them and stuff. And right just mid-sentence, the heel of my new shoe just broke right off. And these were pretty big heels. I had no business wearing these, by the way. We were supposed to be wearing flats anyway. But lesson learned, my heel popped off. And for the rest of the evening, I had to do like a cute little, you know, kind of stand up on a tippy toe of one. And, you know, just kind of look as unlopsided as I possibly could. And from there on out, I would bring an extra pair of shoes, of course, every night. Lesson learned.
Lessons learned from the road the hard way. For Christy.
Every time we would go back to that city. Now I don't know, remember which one it was, but every time we would go back there, someone would remind me about how my heel broke and do I have an extra set of shoes?
What is one thing, Christy? That's great. I love that story. What is one thing though, that you wish fans understood? You know, you work there, you were part of the machine, if you will. What is one thing you wish that fans kind of saw or would understand a little bit more about the working environment there? Maybe there's a narrative online and you just read sometimes some of what people say or feedback and think, if they only really understood blank. Is there anything that you kind of see having worked there, you know, always think about as you see fan reaction or this or that or competition maybe amongst peers or how it works backstage? Is there anything that stands out to you that you wish fans would understand just a little bit more?
Yeah, what a great question. I appreciate the opportunity to say this. You know, and this is something that people do think that they know how controlled the environment is there, but you really just can't imagine how little freedom the performers have to do what they, to make the choices that they think are correct, from in the ring to promos, to what they say online, you know, to what they do in live shows. If you're ever criticizing a WWE superstar, please know that whatever you disliked about whatever they did probably was not their choice, probably, you know, was not their doing, was not their creative, maybe wasn't even their choice of a move to do in a match. It goes down to that small thing. So I just, the criticism of the wrestlers, there just really is nothing that you can say, I think, about any of them ever. So because of the work that they put in and the environment that they are surviving every day, trying to do their best and do what they, you know, are given, do their best with what they're given and to really deliver for their boss. That's their job. You know, we would think it is to entertain fans, but their job is to deliver for their boss. And I just want people to really keep that in mind when they're being critical of the wrestlers.
That's a great perspective. I'm glad you said that, because oftentimes it's just easy to, as a fan or as that person sitting at home, to pick on the wrestler themselves. But you're absolutely right. They're given a task list. They're given instructions of what to do, and exactly from what you're saying. And if they fall outside of that, they themselves could be in trouble. So they're doing what they're told. Right.
Yeah, you know, when it comes down sometimes to how much TV time you have at a match, or, you know, things being changed at the last minute, there's so much going on there. It's such a fast-paced environment. And I just want to remind fans to just be patient with everybody there. I wasn't.
I like it.
I'm not very patient. I got mad when I didn't get what I wanted, but you guys should learn from my mistakes.
Hey, you scared me enough with that promo for Tough Enough. So I never want to irritate Christy Olsen ever again. She might kick ass. Was there anyone there that you had heat with?
Ooh, no one's ever asked me this before. You know, not to my knowledge, but I will say that there is a lot of pointing out everyone's shortcomings, criticizing everyone else a lot, because when all the focus is on you, of course you want to bounce a little bit of it off onto other people. So yeah, I guess there was maybe one of my fellow announcers who, you know, did all the stuff, lied about me, you know, just hated me, tried to turn people against me, tried to get opportunities taken away from me. But now that I kind of have some perspective, I just feel bad for that person. And I think what pressure they must have been under, and the way their career has gone since then, you know, they were just coming from a place of insecurity. So, and that was just one person. every, for the most part, like I said, especially like the main roster superstars and stuff, people were really cool to me. And I was so careful behind the scenes, please and thank you. And, you know, I knew from my work with Sean and Lillian and from work on the indies, you know, the shaking hands and all that kind of respect stuff. I made sure that I showed that, you know, I was there for the right reasons. So I didn't have a lot of heat from, you know, anybody that I know of, but the little that I did, now I kind of just like feel bad for anyone who was coming at me with any negativity, because it was just being bounced off of them.
I like what you said though. And I knew as you wrapped that up, you said, and as you see where that person ended up, it's those people that become consumed with pointing out other people's faults and what they're not good at and being that troublemaker that end up, not having success in their own lives. I've seen that happen over and over again in my own, you know, work life. And to your point with this story, here's another example of it, it sounds like. So there you go. It pays to be nice people and to be a good person. It really does. And work
it
hard.
It does. And again, I can't say enough how great Kayla was to me. Yes. And a lot of the other announce team too. So,
well, listen, I have to ask, if they were to have asked you to think about getting in the ring, would have you considered it?
Well, that was never discussed. Would I have considered it? Yes, absolutely, because I would always want to try stuff, but I would have done that knowing that I would probably fail miserably. We did have to take a little bump class. So that was, you know, putting on the tough enough helmets and literally taking a few bumps, you know, throwing yourself down to the mat, doing that whole thing. And it's just not in my nature to do that to myself. You know, I consider myself a fairly brave person, but that's just not something that I, you know, can do. That being combined with one little incident on the indies when I first started, D'Lo Brown came up with a cool spot where one of the wrestlers was going to attack me as I was doing some ringside reporting and kind of pull me into the ring by my hair. It was going to be a whole thing. We tried to do it, and all I needed to do was like hold myself up enough for him to pull me up, and I couldn't even do that. So would I have considered it? Yes, because it would have been fun to try, but knowing that that would have been a miserable failing. And also WWE again was very clear about what the role of announcers were, and we were just in that bump class just in case, you know, a scuffle would go down right next to us and we'd need to know how to get out or take a bump or whatever, but that was never going to happen.
Well, as Confucius says, know thyself. And it sounds like you know yourself pretty well, and that was not the road or path for you. And you were never asked of it, so there you go. But it's a fun question to see, to fantasy book. Would Christy Olsen ever lace him up and get in the ring? So there you go.
I mean, I think manager valet, I would jump at that at any moment. In fact, if there's any indie wrestlers out there who think they need a valet and we can do something together, please let me know. Yes.
You could be a great mouthpiece for an indie wrestler. There you go.
So fun.
Well, listen, you were there for just under a year, according to my research. What was it like, that experience?
It changed so much over time. And when I say that it seemed like a blur at the beginning, the signing and all that, I would say the first, you know, 6 months or so all seemed like a blur. It was such a dream come true to be there. At the same time, I had built it up so much in my head and looked forward to it for so long that really nothing could have lived up to, you know, what I imagined about being there. And that was kind of a detriment. That was something I did to myself, you know. There were so many dream come true moments, you know, being in the ring with Shawn Michaels as a special referee, you know, announcing for NXT TV. So many positive things for me to focus on first and things that were dreams come true. But it was also, you know, high stress. I don't thrive in a kind of environment where it's, you know, you push you and push and almost a negative way of shaming people into doing what they think is the right thing. That's just not something I respond well to. So the environment was a bit of a downer for me, to be honest with you. I remember some periods of time where I would, and I'm not a crier, but I would come home and cry for like a couple of weeks. I was about midway through. So it was tough, honestly. It was tough with so many huge, bright spots that now I think about and get to watch and just get to smile about and be proud of, that I can just sort of feel positive about it now. But it was tough.
Do you know, Christy, and thank you for sharing that, do you know what led them to releasing you?
Well, they told me at first that they were going to re-sign me. That was a couple months before my contract was up. And then it was really in the negotiation after that, the, you know, so what will I be doing? What will be the opportunities to grow? Where are the opportunities that I was told I would be getting at the beginning? Where are we at on those? I, you know, maybe expressed to the wrong person that maybe I was considering not staying. And I went and had a main roster live show loop that afterward I kind of said, you know what, I'm going to stay home for a while and I'm going to think about some stuff. And they said, okay, that's fine. And then a few days later, they called me and brought me in and took away my laptop and phone and told me that they weren't going to resign me.
Gotcha. So you had
with a very like generic explanation of like, you know, a very positive generic explanation that was just meant to make me feel good. So I don't really know what the whole issue was, but I just believe in things that are supposed to happen, happen. And that was what my experience was supposed to be. I was supposed to get shown that that wasn't going to be where I was going to be for life, like Lillian. And man, what a ride. Grateful.
Would you go back to WWE if they called you today?
You know, I, for a long time, I said to that question, well, they're not going to ask, so I don't need to even think about it. Now, I'd like to think, well, you know, I wasn't super happy there the first time. Maybe that's not my vibe to, you know, be told what to say and what to wear and all that, but I'm sure I would. It was a lifelong dream. It's, you know, the place to be, and I'm sure I would. That's the honest answer. That is the not trying to protect myself or sound cool. That's the honest answer is I'm sure I would.
Well, Christy, the wrestling industry as a whole is exploding right now. So it's not necessarily WWE that has to be the one to call, right?
That's true. You know, my enthusiasm for having the fake name and asking the scripted questions behind the scenes, that's something that I'm really happy to let other people do now. I see other people thriving in that role. So I really look for kind of more than that now anyway, something that would be a hosting, pre-shows, after shows, interviews, things like that, shoot interviews. You know, I'm really happy being kind of on the outside and reporting on news. You know, I have my way of staying in the mix that I'm happy with too.
Speaking of which, you're now helping us out here with ad-free shows. What's the one thing adfreeshows.com members can expect when Christy Olsen is involved?
Well, you know, I think like they saw in my Tough Enough promo, that was no lie. I squeezed the juice. Okay. And even if it's their job to ask all the questions, which it is on those live Q&As with the top guys, I'm still going to slide in a little something more. If I think you're going somewhere, but maybe you don't want to be the guy that went there, I'll take it there for you. So just know that with me, you're going to get all the piping hot tea. We're going to squeeze the juice.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's what we want. Somebody that's not afraid to push the buttons. Listen, I know what that's all about. I've been asked to tag in for some of these, you know, podcasts, and that's one thing. I'm trying to grow the relationship before I start to squeeze too much, you know, but that's where it's at. That's where you got to dig a little deeper and have, you know, people willing to share some things. Maybe they weren't thinking they were going to share going in, but that's where really the you know, like you said, the tea is spilled.
Well, yeah, you've been doing a great job, Paul. I heard your run in on 83 weeks this week. You did great. A little tip, you know, you can always try the 1-2 punch. It's the softball question, and then the boom. And they're not expecting it.
Okay. I will write that one down. I'll keep it up here.
Get them comfortable and then
slide in there. There you go. Well, listen, you know, so we're excited, obviously, to have you a part of ad-free shows. And is there one more thing that you feel like is important for the ad-free shows family to know about you? Maybe we've covered quite a bit here as we record this today, but is there something that you feel like you want the members to know about you that you want to get across before we wrap up here today?
Well, we covered it pretty well, all the pro wrestling stuff at least. I know that we have a lot of animal lovers in the ad-free shows community, so I want to let everybody know I am a fur mama to my Chihuahua Dachshund mix, Barney, who I love very much. I'm a longtime vegan, and I love hiking and vegan junk food and just connecting with people. So if there's anything that people were wondering as they were sitting watching this, I would absolutely love to talk to you. Ask me.
Vegan junk food. Give me an example of some vegan junk food.
Well, I make a really great breakfast burritos with like vegan cheese and vegan sausage and vegan egg and a tortilla and the whole thing. Chocolate chip cookies are kind of my number one. And a lot of the frosting in a can, like the Pillsbury and stuff, vegan. So, you know, you just take that top right off spoon, vegan junk food.
Wow. Okay. Well, maybe one day we'll all get to hang out and you can introduce me to a vegan snack. Sounds exciting. We'll see.
Oh, you'll love it. Trust me. Trust me.
Well, listen, before we wrap up, I wanted to touch on this. You and Steve Kaufman, he's our YouTube secret weapon. You guys do a post show for 83 weeks. What's your reaction been from the AFS members? Have you gotten a reaction? Are they checking it out? Are you enjoying doing that with Steve and Eric? Talk to us about that show.
Oh my gosh, we have so much fun on that. We've been doing that one for a while, so we've gotten very comfortable. We play games. Last week, there was quite a rousing round of ICP song or ECW show, where I gave Eric some titles and he had to guess which one he thought it was. You guys can still check that out on the 83 Weeks channel. So we not only kind of grill Eric a follow-up to his episode, if there was anything that week on 83 Weeks that he maybe didn't make clear or anything else about current news that's going on now, we ask questions, but also there's a live chat. So all the ad-free shows folks and anyone else can come in and join us. And we relay the questions to Eric. He loves that because he loves to get questions from the ad-free shows community. So we have a good time. If you aren't checking that out, it's 5 p.m. Pacific on Thursdays on the 83 Weeks channel. Please come and join us.
And coming up, you have the big Zoom event with Jonathan Coachman. That's coming the first week of September. I know it got bumped a week due to his schedule, but you got to be excited about that one. I heard he's got some news and nuggets to drop on that one.
Ooh, well, I'm excited for that. You know, we're going to get it out of him, me and the top guys. And I'm really looking forward to that because to talk to someone else who was a part of the announce team, you know, there, I think there's probably some things we can relate to and some things we can talk about. I've never actually met him. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be a good time.
Rumor has it he may be willing to share why he would never go back to WWE. So there you go.
Ooh.
I'll leave you with that bit of tea. How does that sound?
It's piping hot.
Well, Christy, listen, this has been fantastic. I'm looking forward to just getting to know you again for our ad-free shows family, them being able to hear a little bit about your background, your experience, your fandom, as it started with Hulkamania as a little girl in Minnesota, all the way through your career, also in the entertainment. Where can they check you out? I know you got the YouTube page and everything you're doing. How can they support you, subscribe to your channel, all that good stuff as we wrap up here today?
Well, you guys can always hit me up at Christy Reports. The YouTube channel is Christy Reports as well. And ChristyReportsAllAccess.com to get some Bright Side of the Ring and some other fun stuff that I do. So go and check out my links page anywhere on social media. And if you can't find it, just ask me. Let's chat.
And you also do a fun week. Is it weekly recap too with WrestlingInc.com, I believe, I thought.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's live on Friday mornings on their YouTube channel. And we have a pretty boisterous live audience for that as well. We cover the top breaking stories as they're happening right away Friday morning. So that is where to go for, you know, kind of the latest news and to share your thoughts, too, on all the stuff we talked about. You know, Brock and his, is it a faux hawk? Is it a man bun? Is it, you know, what do we want to call it? That was one of our big topics today. So, yeah, come and hang out with us there, too.
Sounds great, Christy. I love it. I love getting to know you, getting to work with you. I'm looking forward to the next time we get to do a post show together. And I wish you nothing but success. Welcome you here to the ad-free shows family. Looking forward to working with you again. This has been fantastic. And again, ad-free show members, we are so thankful for your support. Again, you can support us there. Level up. Make sure you're a part of the Jonathan Coachman Zoom event with Christy. I know that's going to be one that's going to be much talked about, not only in our community, but on social media and other news sites will pick up that interview. So that's going to be an exciting time to join. But that's going to wrap us up, Christy. Any final thoughts before we close it down for this getting to know Christy Olsen?
I just want to thank everybody for listening or watching. And also thank you, Paul. This was so much fun to chat with you. And I, too, am looking forward to the next time we get to break down a pay-per-view together.